All right, everybody ready back there? Let her rip. All right, we're in Romans, actually. And we're in the first chapter. And I'd like to just sort of temporarily just backtrack just a little bit so that people can follow this. We were talking about Romans 1, verse 24, verse 26, and verse 28. And we noticed that verse 24 is starts with wherefore. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Okay, wherefore? Okay, why? What went before to make a wherefore? Well, it's not just verse 23, it's 21 through 23. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They were not thankful. Their heart was darkened. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image likened unto corruptible man, etc., etc. Bah. Wherefore? God also gave them up to, and let's just say, at this stage anyway, he gave them up to sin, or he gave them up to, let me just go ahead and say, he gave them up to sin. He gave them up unto that which was not Christ. Okay, we'll see that a little more as we go here. Also verse 26, or verse 25, and they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Verse 26, for this cause, or wherefore, or because of this, God gave them up unto vile affections. And so they are not rejecting God as a supreme being, folks. Okay? They're not rejecting God as the supreme being. We've already looked at the scriptures that talk about they knew God, that God had given things to them whereby they would know him and would know his heart and know even his self-giving nature. And you know, and it talks about even things in nature. Well, that was God making things after his son. All things were made by him and for him and to him and through him. And so, I mean, I remember like my first 3 months when I was 3 months old in the Lord. Not three months old. I don't remember that. But when I was 3 months old in the Lord, and, you know, all of a sudden it hit me that the sun represents the sun and the earth represents us earthlings and us people that are, you know, separate from God. And the moon represents the church. And how the moon, the sun, it shines. And when it's daytime, you don't see the moon. When he's seen in his fullness, you don't see us. When the light is truly the way it should be, we're there. But you don't see us. And this, I was like 2 months old, 3 months old in the Lord, and I'm already going, you know, he outshines everything, including us at our best, or what I mean by that is even as the bride. That's just, not because he's selfish or trying to take over, he just is that, and that's what we're joined to. There's not a competition between us and Jesus. Amen. At least I hope there's not. But also that when it got dark, when things got dark, when the earth was in darkness, there was also a light, the moon, the bride. But the moon is made of reflective material. Did you know that? It is incredibly reflective. That's what we're made out of. We're made to reflect the Lord. And that sun still hits the moon, even though we're on the dark side of the earth at the time. And they're reflecting back to the people in darkness is the bride who is still, she's not in darkness, she's still taking in his light and shining it to those who are in darkness. And, you know, the apocalypse, the end of everything. What's going to happen then? The moon is going to turn to blood. And that's when there's an eclipse. And that's when the earth gets in front of the moon and the sun can't shine on it. And it turns red. We go, it's the end of everything. It's the... What's... the end of everything for the moon, because she lives to reflect him. She lives to be one with him. So, the apocalypse, when the moon turns to blood, is when we're no longer taking in him, taking in his light, and giving it back. And to be honest with you, I can never remember the order of the spheres when the moon turns to blood. But anyway, it turns to blood because it's not getting a full reflection of him. And I remember a bunch of us hippies sitting on the floor in the living room, passing the guitar, going, who's got a song from the Lord? And, you know, the most amazing songs would come forth. Everyone wrote songs, and they're all scripture. And that coming to me, and I shared it with everybody, and they're going, oh, my God. You know, we just had this awe about the Lord. It was just like, oh, my God. It wasn't, yeah, praise God. Well, yeah, Jesus is, he's big stuff, and yeah, praise God, you know. I mean, we were just like, you got to be kidding me, man. Is that, God made it this way. And he wants us to know him. And he wants us to be with him. We were, this is the way we talked. It was the Jesus movement. It wasn't the Christian movement. That's what it was called. The Jesus movement. And it was just like, I just love Jesus, man. And everybody go, man, I do too. You know? And I got news for you. I just love Jesus. I just don't add the man at the end of it. I just love Jesus, man. I just love Jesus. And I want to know him and I want to be with him. And I want the things that I've seen from that time till now to birth something real of him into me instead of just stuff coming in and then going out and not remembering anything. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, we spend all of these years, but we miss things because we're Christian instead of because our heart just is after Jesus. And I worry sometimes that maybe he's not as real to many Christians as he needs to be more real. Because it's hard to fall in love with a concept. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know? And yet we have all these concepts that aren't extensions of him, are birthed out from him. Or that's just him. It's just, it's another form of him so that we can learn him, but we make it a thing and we go, okay, and I got this doctrine and now I'm going to learn this and that. And there is no heart and there is no passion to lay hold of him. I mean, that's a good way of putting it, to lay hold of him. You know, it's like when Mary grabbed him after the resurrection, you know. I mean, she's talking to him like he's the gardener, which is like us. We don't see him in his fullness. So, resurrected Jesus. Hey, gardener, what's the deal with the stone moved and where's the guy? But oh, Jesus, he's got that he can when he speaks her name. Boom. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like boom. Oh, I know who that is. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you know, all those people that were healed, you know. That, remember that they didn't just go, well, maybe that was just somebody else in the crowd. You remember the woman with the issue of blood and she's fighting through and, you know, somebody may have, you know, da-da-da-da. And it wasn't the same. And when she touched him, it wasn't the same as everyone else. Regardless of all the people that were touching, wasn't the same. He said the most wonderful words, "Who touched me? I want to know them." God. I want to know who that is because that's real. And everything else right now is religious. You know what I'm saying? That all of this junk, yes, it's for God. Yes, somebody's going to get healed. Yes, we're going to have a great time. But I'm stopping this here party. I'm sure Jesus spoke just like that. Little Texas twang. I'm stopping this thing. And I want to know who it is that actually made an impression on me by their touch. And so that's the heart of the Lord in the book of Romans. That's honestly, that's what it begins with. And it's this thing that God wanted to reveal himself, and he did, and he thought, I'm gonna gather this unto me. They're gonna love me. They're gonna seek to know me and enter in. And then they started exchanging the truth for a lie, and then they started changing his glory for this, and then they started changing his image. That's what it says. That's Romans. So, it gets to a point just like it did with the Judean captivity. I'm going to turn you over to this stuff. That's what you want? That's fine. You know, I mean, don't think that turning it over is fine in his heart, but he's fine with their choice because he will not violate us. But it's not fine in his heart. Nobody can teach you that. But him, you have to see his heart. And then you know, you don't know it by knowledge, you know it by, oh my God, he gave them up. And the loss that he felt, anyway. Excuse me. So he turns them over, he gave them up. Twice it says that, verse 24, verse 26, and then finally they pressed until he gave them over. But what did he give them over to? It's the beginning, folks, of what we call sin. God calls not my son. We call it sin. It's about sin. It's always about sin. We got to get right. We shouldn't do this stuff. Don't we understand? I mean, okay. So they changed the glory of God in verse 23. Wherefore, he gives them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Heart, their hearts. The lust, he gives them. If they're not going to join with him, if they're not going to be one, if they're not going to embrace him, if it's not going to be their passion, he's not going to hold them, so he gives them up to that. And that is nothing more than what you do when you're not joined to Christ and it's not Christ. When you're not a branch, it's bringing forth all these things that's not from the vine. Does that make sense? But the sin doesn't mess with him as much as the lack of wanting to be with him, but changing his seed to something that's an image. Changing his seed to something that's just an image. So, verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. And it begins to describe the affections that were never supposed to be. There's only one real relationship. I hope y'all know that. There's only one real, in this sense, in the sense we're talking about here, and that's with Christ. Yes. And from that, he's a tree of life that flows through every branch. And there's, you've seen trees, there's a big branch, and then there's a medium branch, and then there's a small branch, and then there's a twig. A twig has access to every ounce of what's in those roots. Every ounce of it. Well, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, I'm just a twig. Look at that big old that big old branch. The kids built a swing on it and they're swinging.
Yes. I'd say compared to suppressing the truth and unrighteousness, being a twig is pretty awesome. Being men want to see it from God's point of view. You know, there's those who choose to push that truth down and not look at it, and then you say you're just a little bit twig. When you compare that, it's absolutely wonderful.
And because you're joined, you know. And I mean, just give it, just give it time. Don't, you're joined. Fruit is going to pop out of you. You know? So the root, folks, is not seeking the Lord, not knowing the Lord, not growing in his image, not even knowing what his image is. In heaven, weeping going on. Who is able to book? Open the book. Weeping in heaven. People are freaked out in heaven. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? There's still only one answer, even in heaven. So somebody says, The lion of the tribe of Judah hath overcome and has the power to open it. Thank God John had enough working in him that he didn't just listen to teaching about Jesus. He turned to see him. And he saw a little slaughtered lamb. So that's exact wordings in the Greek. A little slaughtered lamb, not even a sheep, a helpless lamb that slaughtered. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah is his title. Lamb is his nature. Lamb is his image. Lamb is his heart. Lamb is his breath. Lamb is the being that he is. That's what sits on the throne, not a title. You know what? You can make anybody you want president, and the title doesn't change them. Yeah. Some people shouldn't be president. That's all I got to say about that. But my point being is that what really makes you a king is if you're kingly. And yet the king that God chose over this Lord and over that Lord and this Lord and that Lord and over that one over there and over all the Lords would be the slain, slaughtered lamb that would be King of kings and Lord of lords, and everybody bow down to him. And everybody worship in the book of Revelation chapter 5. Glory and honor. They didn't say glory and honor to the lion of the tribe of Judah. Have mercy. They didn't do that. They didn't. They said glory to the lamb that was slain. So when they wouldn't be joined, when they didn't want him, when it was that way, then he gave them up. And because they took it, he gave them over. And every action that came out of them after that was the opposite of what he was trying to do. See, he wasn't trying to make us sinless. He was trying to make us one. And the true definition of no sin in us, in his mind, is not you don't do anything wrong. The angels are sinless. And they're still not what he wants. He didn't go, yeah, that's why if sinlessness was about, he'd go, these angels, thank God I made these things because you guys are a mess. Particularly people on this side. This side. And in the booth. But it's not gaining, it's not about... It's not about figuring out the, 2,000 commandments, watching your step, always having to figure everything out, always having to be in control of the situation, because if you lose control, you'll fail God and then you'll be a reject. We're already rejects. We started that way. It's called repentance unto salvation. I'm a reject. But somewhere along the line, we quit living by grace. I mean, we don't quit. Here's what we do. We get saved by grace. Amen? And then we spend the rest of our time not living by grace, but by trying to produce what God wants. Now it's on our shoulders. No, it's not. That's wrong mind. I mean, I could say it's the wrong way of thinking, but it's not. It's the wrong mind, and that mind thinks that way, and you can't slap the wrong way of thinking. So I go to the source. The root is, if you're not going to grow up in his image, if you're going to change his image, this incorruptible lamb that went through the worst of all that anything could throw at it, the devil gave it his best, the religious world gave it his best to destroy him. The Romans, the political world gave it their best to destroy him, and he didn't fight it. He took it all, but he went down into death with it so that we all could be free. Every action. Okay, we say, no, Brother Randy, not every action. I mean, I do good things too. I'm a committed Christian, and you should honor that, because God does. God doesn't honor a committed Christian. What is the new birth? Tell me what the new birth is. Christ in you. The new birth is not your commitments. I'm committed to being better. You're not going to get any better. And if you're getting better, something's wrong. If you're holding the line, I'm holding the line, then something's wrong. You know? You ever heard the saying, let go and let God? But letting go is hard. It's difficult. Letting go is difficult. Because you know why it's difficult in this realm that we're talking about? It's difficult because we don't want to fail God. It's difficult because we love God. Did you know that? But if we loved him for him or his being, we would understand that letting go is the answer instead of the problem. God, why would you put me in this situation? So you'd come to an end of yourself. So you'd end up loving him more than you love yourself. So that you'd end up wanting him all the time. Not just a salvation experience and I can't wait to get to heaven. Most people don't say, I can't wait to get to Jesus. They don't. I can't wait to get to heaven. Why can't you wait to? I mean, I'm weird. I ask these questions. Somebody, I cannot wait to get to heaven. I said, what do you want to get to heaven so? Well, there are no more problems. Really? You ever thought about Jesus being up there? Oh, sure. I know he's, it'd be nice to check in on him every once in a while. God, just what is going on in our minds? What have we formed? What is this monster? All right, let's go to chapter 3. You know what? Let's hold up just a second. I don't know where I did that one. Okay. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 4, and then we'll move on rather quickly because I don't want to really spend. I don't know what's going to happen here. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Okay. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Isn't that what I just was saying? It's saying the exact same thing. Instead of loving and embracing and glorifying God in his offer to, his offer of things that could be ours, though we could never earn it or never get it on our own, we despise them. Or despisest thou the riches of the goodness of oneness? Or despisest thou the nature of forbearance? That, folks, I'm telling you, the forbearance all comes from love. You know the cross came from love, don't you? You know, by this perceive we the love of God. He died for us to bring, he's still trying. He's doing everything he can. His heart never changed. It never changed. But they are not just rejecting, but they are despising his offer of things that we could never earn. Because it comes by oneness. We can never earn that. You can't earn what comes by oneness. You can earn a lot of stuff. You can't earn that. You have to come into oneness. You have to say, Jesus, you're my all. And despising things that you could never get on your own. Despising things that you could never get on. My God. Have you ever thought of this? I mean, I'm sure you have, but I mean, I just think Jesus is so wonderful and so glorious and so, that his all of this stuff, this good, the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and the long suffering and beyond and all of that stuff. I just sometimes look around and go, why the heck isn't the world just getting up and running madly toward Jesus and going, we want you? I mean, it's too good to be true. No, it's true. It's true. It's true. This stuff is good. It's good. But it's not too good to be true. It is God's own truth. It is God's own heart. It is Him who loved us. The scriptures say that. Him who loved us. Well, why does He love me? I don't know. I don't get it either. No. If he was smart, he'd run like H-E double hockey sticks. But poor Deb. But his love is greater. His love is greater than all obstacles. It is. Are there obstacles? Yeah. But not obstacles to his love. Do you understand the difference? There are obstacles. My God, people, we face obstacles to get into the fullness and into the oneness, into the flow, into letting those rivers flow out of us. Man, there's stuff. But there's no obstacles to his love. Because that's just the kind of guy he is. That's the way he rolls. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? What a slap in the face. I mean, think of it. This is extending stuff we don't deserve at all, and yet we're going, nah, I not only don't like it, I despise this stuff. Your sentimental heart. Your way of achieving things. I despise that. Well, that's because your foolish heart is darkened. It's already said that. And your foolish heart is darkened because you changed the glory of God and the truth of God for a lie. And folks, this isn't going out to the world. This is going to us. This is God speaking to our heart. You know? He talks about in the hardness of your heart, We do. All of us do this. Nobody's better than anybody else, but we all put up walls. Amen? We do it. And we all have fears. And we all have all of that kind of stuff. What's the only hope in a situation, if we're such a mess? What's the only hope? We've got to see Him. And when we see Him, assurance comes, not because He talks to us, or let's put it, not because He talks us into it. No, He doesn't. He doesn't talk us into it. We have to see, number one, He's not like anybody else. He's not like anybody else. Amen? He is not like anybody else. And He can't make more of Him. And God will not make more of Him. He'll only put you in Him. He'll only make you one. He'll only give you the most precious life. So how do you trust such a one? One way to trust is to look into the eyes of the Father when He's looking at His Son. Just there's scripture that verify this. I mean, what comes to my mind just off the cuff is the the Mount of Transfiguration. There's so much to be said. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit gets so excited, he just wants to just, let's talk about this and this and this. It's like, okay, buddy, slow down. I'm still human down here. But but on the Mount of Transfiguration, you've got the top guys. You've got Moses. You've got Elijah. You got the three top disciples, and they're there, and everything's going good. Yeah, man, look, you know, we're up here with Jesus, and we got this guy, and we got that guy, and boy, we're the best of the best, you know. And remember what it said of Jesus. He was talking with Moses and Elijah. You remember what he was talking about? Anybody know? The cross. Oh, really? And on the glory mount, what the heck are you talking about? The cross on the glory mount. That's what they were talking about. And so then God gets in the picture. When he gets in the picture, you better watch out, because all that you think of yourself or that you can do for God, I'll make booths. God will love this. He'll really appreciate me. No, he won't. He really thinks you get in the way, and he's going to do all he can to overshadow you so that only Christ is seen. But we must be seen in him, not having our own righteousness, not standing separate from him, or he's going to overshadow us. Well, why didn't God ever promote me? Look in the mirror. God, you know. And then look in the mirror of the Word and see Jesus, and you'll see why. Because there's the one that he raised from the dead and set above, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, whether in heaven or in earth. How's that for promotion? And then he put us in him and raised us up together and made us sit together in him, not in his chair. We're not in his throne. Well, I get to sit in Jesus. I've heard people talk. I'm getting to sit in Jesus' throne, man. Scoot over, Jesus. You know, it's like, woohoo. You're seated with him, but excuse my friends, but you're his butt that he's sitting on, and his legs and his fingers and his, you're all of that. You're the body. Oh, nobody ever wants to be that part, huh? Never mind then. Excuse me for living. But, you know, I mean, we're so religious. Look, Kelly's got her fingers in her ear. We're so religious that we can't even embrace wherever he put us in the body. Oh, no, I can't be that. I want to be the face. It's his face. God. Gosh. Are we going to be able to remember everything I shared next class? Because I'm going to have to continue on. Oh, my Lord. I don't want to quit. I really don't. I don't want to quit. Because I think I'm on to something. I mean, I really do. I think we're on to something here. I think we're on to something that can save us, not just from hell or the consequences of sin. David said in Psalm 56:1, O Lord, thou hast... What is the word he used? Save me from death. Wilt thou not deliver me, deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk in the light of the living? He's the living. Crucified Christ, he's the one that's living now. If you're looking up, I think it's Psalm 156, 13. That's what it is. Well, or did I? Oh, I'm sorry. Wait. I'm just trying to remember. 56, 13. Let it be, Lord. My soul from death.
Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?
Yeah, my translation says, wilt thou not deliver, in King James, wilt thou not deliver my feet, our walk. And our walk, folks, where's our walk? My God, we, you know, I'm sorry. I know, I need to quit forever probably, but our walk, he said, take up the cross and follow me. That's our walk. We say, well, my walk is, I go to, you know, I go to church and then I go to work and I do this. And Lord, help my walk to be satisfying to you. Jesus said, take up your cross, follow me. Okay. What's involved in that? Two things. The cross and Jesus. Just, it's just a thought. I don't know if you're open to that. All right, I'm going to pray. How about that? Father, we just long for that reaction out of us back to your Son, Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. We long after him. We long to embrace him in the embrace that would please him instead of the motive behind our embrace. In some cases, many cases, Lord, the selfish motive behind our embrace, but to find what he wanted, what's in his heart, and just to give it to him the way he is. And in doing that, that will glorify you. All the things we try to do to glorify you, thinking that just, boy, that surely made you happy, and not even knowing what it is true to glorify you. Lord, you offer us so much. And you offer it on the silver platter of your own heart that is laid open for us. And yet, we just can't even comprehend it. We go by our own mind and we can't comprehend it. You know our frame. I know you don't condemn us, but on the other hand, you didn't do this just so you would not condemn us in our carnality. You've done all of this so that we would come unto you in the manner that you so desire to be with you. Not just with you, but to be. So that where you are, we want to be also. That's where we want to be, where you are. Lord, forgive us all. For maybe no one has sinned, but we've all come short of the glory of God, Lord, here, even us tonight. Because there's so much more of this in relationship to you. And yet we make you about us. We make you about taking care of us. We make you about fixing our problems in this earth. We make you about our life in the earth, not knowing that our life is hid as one with Christ in the heart of God. Father, we ask you to wash us with the washing of the word. We ask that it would cleanse away all carnal perceptions and concepts and vain religious ways to come to the true and the living God, the one that's not religious, the one that is love, at the core, love, not human love, total self-giving love. Lord, you have to, my teaching is not enough, I know that. I count me nothing in my words, nothing except you use them. Or you just bypass them to talk to your people. But I pray that this year we will be drawn more and more into you, that there will be, as Paul said, you separated me from my mother's womb. Separated me from my earthly ties that hold me to this earth. To reveal your Son in me. Only you can do that, Holy Spirit. Only you have the power and the ability to go beyond any. You know the state of each of us individually. And you know the hunger level. You know if there's a true heart that is wants you more than life itself. Feed them on the bread of heaven, the bread of life, Jesus. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you.